It's good to be with you. Good to be with God's children, God's family, and to be able to worship God together in spirit and in truth. I thank God for that song. It sounded like something Job would have written. When I was listening to the words of it, I thought of Job. I thought that sounded like something he would have written. Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Our Lord is going to tell us here, starting in verse 31. He's going to tell us here in these verses, Matthew 25:31, starting there, that he's coming again. Now I want you to notice, this is before he dies. How certain is that? Before he ever goes to the cross, before he is put to death, he's telling them, the Son of Man is coming again. I'm coming again. This is how sure, I won't say he was, this is how sure our Lord is about everything. And when he comes, it's going to be with great glory and power. And when he comes, it's going to be with all the holy angels. I was saying to Mike on the way down here, all the holy angels, how many you reckon that is? I never really gave that a thought before. I would say it's innumerable. Innumerable. And every one of them, every last one of them is going to be following him, doing his bidding, serving him, however many that is. All the holy angels are going to be with him. And he's telling us that he's going to come. He's going to make a final separation between the sheep and the goats, or the saved and the lost. There are only two types of people in this world, only two. Those whom the Lord has saved and those that are lost. It's the only two types of people in this world. Saved and lost. There is no one on neutral ground. Before I heard the gospel, I was under Arminianism. And I had the idea that God wanted to save me. Satan was trying to damn me. He was trying to keep me. And somewhere along the way, I had to make a decision. No, I was born lost. You were born lost. There's no neutral ground here. We were born lost. If God does not save us, well, we're going to be on the wrong side. Trouble. No neutral ground at all. And I want us to give great attention to this message tonight. It's sobering. This portion of Scripture is so sobering. Let me read it first, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, not if, but it's when He shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? They're trying to justify themselves. And did not do these things. We've always done these things. But you notice the righteous didn't do that. They were just, when did we ever do this? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now the first thing he does here is that he speaks of himself as the Son of Man. We have here a person revealed. And that word and that name, Son of Man, is his name of humiliation. He's identifying himself with that name of humiliation. That's also a name of identification with us. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, the throne of judgment. The judge of all the earth, the judge of the quick and the dead, is none other than that. Than the Lord Jesus Christ, that despised Nazarene, that one who was rejected and despised of men. This is the one whom the Jews said, we will not have this man to reign over us. That is the man that's going to sit on the throne, and he's going to judge everyone, every nation. He said all the nations are going to be gathered before him, all of them. No one's going to escape. The sea's going to give up its dead. The grave's going to give up the dead. Every one of them are going to stand before Jesus Christ, that despised Nazarene. And he's the judge. He's the judge. They said, we will not have this man reign over us. But God made him to reign over us. God made him to reign over all. This is the one whom God the Father has exalted at his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Seated right now at the right hand of God is a man. The God-man, but a man. There's a man seated in glory. And all judgment and all authority is committed unto him. I'm glad that it's so. I'm glad that it's so because this one, this Son of Man, and he identifies himself as the King, on down in the verses here. And then he identifies himself as the Lord, is our Savior, our Redeemer, our God. He has absolute control and sovereign domain over everything and everyone. All the angels, the elect angels, and the fallen ones are all under his power and under his control. This thing's not out of control. I know you and I, we look at the world and it looks a mess, doesn't it? It's not. It's under the power of our Lord, and it's going according to his purpose. I mean, right down to the gnat flying in the air is going according to his purpose. And he says here, he's going to come in all his glory, all his majesty. We can't even begin to imagine, and I sure cannot begin to put it into words, the glory and the majesty and the splendor that's going to be revealed when we see Jesus Christ. When we look into his face. The first time he came, it was barely noticed. A few shepherds, the angels announced it to a few shepherds and some wise men, but it was barely noticed. But this time, when he comes this time, this last time, it's going to be in great glory and power. Power. They're not going to see this mutilated flesh. They're not going to see this man who was despised. He's not going to look like that. He's going to come as the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? It says in the Psalm, it's the Lord. Who's the Lord? Jesus Christ. That's who he is. And he's going to take his throne of judgment. Now people can ignore him. They can make fun of him. They can say whatever they want. But one day, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God the Father that this man, Jesus Christ, is Lord. He's Lord. He's the sovereign potentate. He's the ruler. And all judgment is going to be in his hands. Be in his hands. The administration of the judgment of the great day is committed to the Son of Man. Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Notice in verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. His judgment in this day of every person that's ever walked on this earth is going to be a just, right down to the jot and tittle. It'll be just. And the administration of judgment is committed to him. It's committed to him. For by him God will judge the world, and to him all judgments committed. Listen to this in Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day, God hath appointed a day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. He's the judge, our Savior. You believe on Christ? You believe him, our Savior? If you do, he's your Savior. Our Savior, the Savior of the church, is the judge. Our Redeemer is the judge. The Lamb of God is the judge. It's all committed to him. And all must appear before him. Look at verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, all people, all tribes, all languages. It doesn't matter what religion nations hold. I don't care if it's Islamic or you or Buddhism. It doesn't matter. Every one of them, when it's finally over, is going to be called to judgment in front of Him. In front of Him. All nations, He said here, gather all nations, and He shall separate them one from another. He's not going to just separate this nation from this nation. What He's saying here, He's going to separate every nation all together, individually, one by one. No one escapes. No one escapes. Those that dwell together here on this earth, you know, we all live together. The saved and the lost all live together, don't we? It says God's sun shines on the just and the unjust. It rains on the just and the unjust. We all live, well, it's because we all live here on the same earth. We live in the same communities. But one day, you believe this. You believe there's a judgment coming. You believe God's going to destroy this earth that we walk on? You believe that there's coming a day that when everyone will be called into judgment? Now the believer's judgment's already passed. We were judged at Calvary. But He's going to take and He's going to judge everyone. And those that dwell together here shall be separated there. The scripture says, He knoweth them that are His. You know, we are not to separate the sheep and the goats and the tares and the wheat because you and I will mess it up. We'll shoot the wrong one. I guarantee you, we'll shoot the wrong one. We will shoot a just lot. You know what scripture called? Just lot. Read the scriptures. There's not one good thing that can be said about that man. That man left Abraham, left the worship, went down into Sodom and stayed down there with his family. And when he told his family that God was going to destroy that place, they laughed at him as one that mocked. His whole testimony was destroyed. But when Peter speaks of him, you know what he calls him? Just Lot. That righteous man. That righteous man. Oh, we'd shoot a just lot is what we'd do. But he won't make that mistake. He'll not make that mistake. He knoweth them that are his. There'll be a clear distinction made between the righteous and the wicked then. Here, it's not that easy to tell sometimes. It's not that easy to tell. But in that day, it'll be made very clear. Listen to this scripture in Malachi 3:18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. There'll be a day when that distinction is very, very clear. And without this separation, heaven, paradise, wouldn't be any better than this place. Without that separation. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, verse 33, but the goats on the left. The sheep shall have the place of honor and glory. Now they are in this life, they're persecuted. If you stand for the gospel now, you're going to be persecuted. If you stand and tell the truth, you stand for the gospel, you're not going to be popular. There's no way you're going to be popular. Not if you stand for it. But in that day, you're going to be given a place of honor and glory, while the goats have the place of dishonor and contempt. Now I want you to notice here, it does not say that the rich would be on his right hand and the poor on his left. It doesn't say the educated will be on his right hand and the uneducated on the left. Now I want you to notice this. All distinction is gone. It's either sheep or goat. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. It's not you're rich or you're poor or you're this or that. It's you're either a sheep redeemed by the blood of Christ or you're a goat. A vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. It's one or the other. Now, the righteous are going to be taken care of first. I want you to notice here, verse 34. Then shall the king, I wrote above this, then shall King Jesus, That's what Pilate wrote that over. This is the king of the Jews. They said, don't you write that? You write that he said that. Put over his head that he said that. Now God put that over there, the king of the Jews. Then shall the king, you see, he goes from son of man. He identifies himself as a son of man. He identifies himself with us. Now he's identifying himself as the king. As the king. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come. Now, you that believe the gospel, the curtain is pulled back here. We need to realize it. He's right now, he's pulling the curtain back, and we are getting to look into the future of how this is going to happen. And he's going to say, come ye blessed of my Father. This is what the believer is going to hear. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You and I have nothing to do with preparing this kingdom. He prepared it. John 14. Christ said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, he says here, then shall the king of glory, the judge of all the earth, then shall he say, come ye blessed of my Father. He said to Peter, he said to his apostles, or disciples, he said, whom do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Bar-Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really, with all your heart, believe on Christ? Blessed aren't you. Blessed. He said, my Father revealed that to you. You are a work of God. If you believe, you are a work of God. Here, the judge is revealed to be none other than the King of glory, reproached and cursed by the world, but blessed of God. Oh, he said, blessed of my Father. And when he speaks to them on his right hand, they need not fear. They need not fear. For he speaks to them in peace. There's no fire and thunder and lightning, but peace. Peace. He's going to say to sheep, who were at one time by nature, as it says in Ephesians 2, children of wrath, even as others. And he's going to say to them, come on in. Come on in. He's going to speak peace to them and tells them that they are blessed of his Father. The king here gives all the glory of salvation to his Father. For he's the first cause. He's the first cause in love. He's the first cause in election. He's the first cause in calling. He's the first cause in purpose. All the glory belongs to him. All of it. And they are welcomed into the kingdom. Welcomed into the kingdom. Here, his people bear a cross. Christ said, take up your cross and follow me. But there, they wear the crown. Oh my. But we had to look forward to. What the believer has to look forward to. What joy What joy ought to fill the hearts of the saints in that day. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. We can now come boldly to the throne of grace, but then we can come boldly to the throne of judgment. Because we have nothing to fear. Judgment was passed on our substitute. He took my hell. He took my wrath. He took my torment. That rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. He took that away. He took that away. And we can come boldly, boldly in that day, knowing that we have peace with God through that man, Jesus Christ. Boldly. And he says here we have an inheritance. He says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The kingdom, this kingdom, it was purposed by God before the world began. This was not thrown together after Adam fell. This has all been settled long before creation. It was all settled. It was purposed and it was prepared. When God created Adam and he put him in the garden, did Adam add anything to the garden? Did he have to come, did he have to do one thing to make it complete? Before God created Adam, he created the Garden of Eden. And then he made Adam. And then he put Adam in the garden. And Adam had that beautiful garden. It was all prepared. All prepared. And God has purposed and prepared a kingdom for every one of his children. It's a kingdom of grace. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom, listen, it's a kingdom of love. Not a hateful word will ever be spoken in that kingdom. Not a tear will be shed. There will be no pain in that kingdom. There will be no sin in that kingdom. It's a kingdom of righteousness. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine not locking the door? Can you imagine not hearing, not one time hearing bad news? I normally don't watch the news because I'm sick of bad news. I usually turn it on for the weather and I turn it off. They give it to you bad because it gets the ratings up. But there'll come a day that there'll be no bad news. There'll be no aches, be no pain, nothing sinful enter into that kingdom. The kingdom of righteousness. And that's the kingdom we are going to inherit. And it's a kingdom prepared, listen, by God. If I prepared it, it would be just as much a mess as this is. But God prepared this kingdom. It's a kingdom prepared by God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the joy of that and the glory of that? No, we can't. Not with these minds. Not with these minds. It's a kingdom prepared. The happiness has to be great. It's a product of wise... Now listen, it's a product of wise counsel. Can you imagine that? The Father designed it for His people. Designed by God. You take this world, even with all the sin that's in it, it's beautiful, isn't it? Imagine what it is you take sin out of it. Reminds me of an old song where never is heard a discouraging word. I don't remember the rest of it, but I remember that. It's not a gospel song. I don't mean what, it's a country song or something. But anyway, it's a kingdom prepared by God. And it's a kingdom where our forerunner has already entered. He's already there. He's already there. And the Spirit of God calls us, regenerates us, and is preparing us for that kingdom. The song you sing, the troubles and the heartaches that we go through, that God sends our way, is preparing us for that kingdom. He knows what He's doing. Now He reveals a character here. In verse 35 through 36, "For I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty." This is the character of those who will inherit the kingdom. "I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." This people, saved by the grace of God, are a gracious people. They're a kind people. They're a loving people. They really are. If grace is in you, it's going to come out. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. If it's there, it's going to come out. But you notice here, you notice here, when he mentions their character, he doesn't mention what they believed. He doesn't mention that. He mentions how they lived. That's what he mentions. "I was hungry, and you fed me." There's a spiritual application here. Are you hungry tonight? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Does not your pastor feed you week after week after week? Huh? I remember long before I heard the gospel, I sat under a ministry that did not feed me Christ. Mention is made of their obedience. As someone said, not as a right to the kingdom, but as their evidence of their interest in Jesus Christ. It's an evidence. They denied themselves. That's what our Lord said, Matthew 16. "Except you deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple." They love the brethren. And they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had faith in Christ. And here's their humility. Their humility shines here. Verse 37 through 39. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord." See, now he reveals himself as Lord. The Son of Man, the King, and now he's here, Lord. "When saw we thee hungry and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When we ever see you as a stranger, when saw we thee as a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee?" You know, I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice how in His providence the Lord brings some of His own into trial to exercise the grace in others. He might empty me, and that'd be a trial. But He might fill you. You may be filled, and that's a trial. I had a man tell me one time, that a man that I knew that was a wealthy man, and he was a believer, and he told me, he said, "John, you don't know the responsibility that comes with having money. We think we'd like to have it. There's a great responsibility that comes with it. Great responsibility. You got the rich man. And you got Lazarus. You got Lazarus laying at his gate. I think I'd rather be, knowing what I know now, by God's grace, I would rather be the one hungry than the one with all the food and no heart to give it. Knowing what I know now, by grace. They said, Lord, when we ever see you hungry, thirsty, naked? And he says in verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. This shows the oneness that Christ has with every one of his children. As much as you've done it unto one of the least. That one that nobody notices. That one that sits in the back, nobody knows. He just quiet, comes and goes. Or she's quiet, comes and goes. Just as much as you've done to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. That is the oneness, the union of Jesus Christ with his children. If you do it to them, you do it to him. That's what he said to Paul. Paul, or Saul at that time. Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was going about persecuting the church, and that's his body. And that's very real. That's very real. And notice their humility. They said, Lord, when did we see you hungry? And when did we see you thirsty and all this? And he's going to say, remember that one that was thirsty, that one that was hungry? You did that to me. You did that to me. How different the attitude of those in Isaiah 58:3 who said, wherefore have we fasted and thou seest not? Why have we fasted, Lord, and you haven't taken notice of it? They said, Lord, well, we don't recall this. We don't recall this. Now he turns to the wicked. Now he turns to them. Then shall he say, in verse 41, and I'll wind this down. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me. Brethren, there can be nothing worse said or to be heard than this, because there's no change. You can't say, well, wait a minute. Well, hold on. There's no argument. There's no going back. There's no trying to do something to make it better. When he says depart, it is depart. It's final. It's final. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. They are ordered to depart. Cursed. He gives them a place to go to. And it is a prepared place also. It's a prepared place. They are given a place to go to. It's called everlasting fire. Judgment's real. Hell is real. Eternity is real. It's a prepared place. He says here it was prepared for the devil and his angels. You say that has to be a terrible place. Well, those who are cast there have to be just as bad. They have to be that place. Go to that place. It is a place, I know this, it's a place without mercy. It is a place without hope. You know, there the angels that fell, They were not given a Savior. There is no hope. There's no hope. That's why I said this is a very sobering message. And it's without light. That's why it's called outer darkness. There's no end to it. They had the same opportunities. And they revealed who and what they are. Who they were and what they are. Verse 42 and 45, "For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat." That rich man did not go out there and offer Lazarus anything to eat. The dog licked his sores. "I was thirsty. I was thirsty. Not only did you not give me anything to drink, you gave me nothing from the pulpit." The message was empty. Christ was not in the message. Christ is our bread. Christ is our drink. And when the people gathered, you gave them slop. That's what you gave them. You gave them slop. You did not feed them the bread from heaven. You left them hungry. "I was a stranger, and you ran me off." I remember this very well. When I heard the gospel, I was so excited about it. I thought the place where I was going would be excited about it. And when I told them about it, I told that pastor about it, he wanted me to leave. First thing, he stood in the pulpit and said, well, we've got a Calvinist now in our midst. And he wanted me to leave. "I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. You ran me off. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. No, you left me in my rags. You left me in my rags." When Don stands here and he preaches to you the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is your clothing. That is the sheep's clothing, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But he says here, you didn't clothe him. You naked, you clothed me not. Sick of sin sick. And you didn't give me the balm of Gilead. No, you just gave me a profession. You told me to come up here to the mourner's bench and accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And you let me go home just as lost as I came. Made me twofold the child of hell. That's what you did. In prison. You ever been imprisoned by your sins? You ever been imprisoned by them? You ever been imprisoned by the lust of your flesh? Have you ever been imprisoned by them? The Catholic gives you a few Hail Marys to say, and Hail Mary full of grace, and da-da-da, this, that, and then you go on your way. No, you left me in prison. You did not set the captive free by preaching the gospel to them. And you didn't visit me, he says. Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry and thirsty and a stranger and naked and sick in prison?" And notice their arrogance. Notice the arrogance here and the hypocrisy. The self-righteous. Notice how the self-righteousness just jumps out of here. "And did not minister to thee." The sheep didn't say that. They just said, "Lord, when we ever see you like this? And when did we ever clothe you?" But they said, "When did we ever see this and didn't do it?" "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." I sat under a ministry for a while before I heard the gospel. Guilty of this. Did not feed me Christ His righteousness, His person, His atonement. It was evident by their conduct that they were graceless and Christless. And these, he says, shall go away into everlasting punishment. There's no end to it. No end to it. But the righteous. Here's the good news. Oh, here's the good news. The righteous. All of them that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that look to Him, He is their righteousness. But to the righteous, but the righteous into life eternal. What a day that'll be. What a day. All right.